Get that one on. And sorry, got to get this one on. It's my backup. I got to have a backup plan. So, all right. All right, our course is Praying Like Paul, and we're continuing in this. We'll be in Colossians chapter 1, so if you want to open your Bible or your device to that. I will be using all the ESV translation for my lesson today, but I, as you see at the beginning there, I have broken it down into some phrases, kind of an outline format, so we'll start there. The lesson today, lesson number 17, asking that. I know, you're not supposed to end a sentence like that, but it's not a complete sentence, so it's my title. English grammar teachers, get over it. So, the point that we're making today, and we're actually only going to get through this one word, but there's a lot in Scripture about this principle that we need to learn. So, we're not only referring to this, but we're studying what this means to ask. And that this word is vital to our Christian life, our life as a believer, that we ask, and we all can end that phrase with what is repeated so many times, ask in Jesus' name. So we'll talk about that as we go through. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, even though it's broken down into outline form, it's still the verse as it exists. So let's read chapter 1, verse 9. And so from the day we heard, that is, of your faith and your love, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, that is, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, and being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, and giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. So, Paul's prayer for these Colossians, as we studied in our last lesson, is one of Paul's most pastoral prayers. He's praying this because he wants the best for them. He cares about their issues. He cares about what's going on. This prayer expresses a lot of his heart and also of that of the leader of that church, Epaphras, who is one of them. He's with Paul at this point, but he will be returning to Colossae. And Paul loves this church. He loves these people, just as he does all of his churches. And we get an echo of his care for people. He is passionate about what he desires for them. It's not just a mental knowledge. It's not just mental assent. It's not just, hey, you know, I'm praying for you, so, you know, just hope you do well. No, Paul is involved with them. As we did in our last session, we kind of reviewed some of the things in his letter. Paul knows exactly what the trouble is there, of course, from Epaphras, but also by inspiration of the Lord. God helps him. He hears this message, maybe Epaphras brought it, or maybe someone else, and the Lord then also gives him increased understanding of what's going on, and then how to respond to that need, the situation that is there. And the Colossian saints are under assault. They're under attack by this beginning early stage called Gnosticism, which is a combination of philosophies and religions and just different principles. They'll borrow from Scripture where it helps them, of course, misinterpreted. It's full of false doctrine, and it steals life from the believers and causes their message to not be a message of salvation. So whatever they're communicating, maybe, quote, witnessing to others, those people aren't being born again because they're not hearing the truth. And so if we so compromise the gospel or the message, it might not communicate salvation to people. It might communicate saved by works. It might communicate that God cares for everybody. He saved everybody, so you don't need to do this believing in Jesus thing. And that's not true. But some of that gets applied. And so Paul is concerned about these believers, not so much that they have gotten into this, but they are standing against those who are trying to pull them into this. So this is like believers who are under assault from this Gnostic philosophy that is trying to take over. The church gets corrected. It becomes more flowing and purposeful in the work of God for several centuries, until Gnosticism in the 3rd and 4th century becomes so full-blown and enlarged that the people can't resist it anymore, and the church basically fails because they ultimately will give in. They surrender to this. But in Paul's day, he's interested in their well-being. Well, you know, we can apply that to us. Are not our beliefs under assault? The things that we believe, the things that we hold true, are being misinterpreted, misdirected, condemned, sidelined. And so, you know, it's one thing for someone not to believe you, but it's another thing when they just totally sideline. You don't even listen. It doesn't matter. What you believe doesn't apply. And so there's many of these things that are similar. And before we get into all of that, we're going to talk about this first word, asking. Asking that you may be filled. So Paul says, I'm praying for you. And we talked about how God had laid this upon his heart. But the idea is asking. He knows that believers need to walk in the will of God. But you can't walk in the will of God if you're not filled with the knowledge of God. And if you're not walking in the will of God, you can't bear fruit that God desires. We can't bear the fruit that God purposes for us. Now, don't interpret that. We'll see more of that in a later lesson. But that's not fruit of the Spirit. That's the fruit of your Christian life. Fruit of the work that you're doing in the name of the Lord. The things that we do that bring blessing and honor. Witnessing. Sharing the gospel, living your life, raising your family, all of those things that become the fruit of the Christian life. That's the fruit that he's talking about. But we can't bear that fruit if we don't know his will, and we won't know his will if we're not filled with knowledge. So we need to have this understanding that Paul is praying for. Now, Paul could just say, well, I've taught you this, and I'm teaching you in this letter, but sometimes that's not enough. I mean, teaching is great. That's what I do. But it's not enough, because not everybody hears. Not everybody is listening. Not everybody is understanding. Not everybody even gets a chance to hear. And I feel sorry for all those who don't get a chance to hear my teaching, but, you know, that's the way it is. So, but teaching is great, but teaching doesn't change everything. Paul wrote a letter, and that's good, but a lot of people didn't get a chance to read the letter. I mean, he didn't write a letter to every member of the congregation. Like, I can send out an email to everyone in the congregation. Paul couldn't do that. He wrote one letter, and they were to copy it and send it on to the other churches, but it didn't put one in everyone's home, which is one of the things that, you know, our desire with the work that we do in the Voice of China and Asia is to put a Bible in people's homes. We went to some of the churches where we give them these Bibles, but then they're just stacked on a back shelf in the church. The people don't want to take them home because they're afraid that they'll get lost or be confiscated. But if they don't have the Bible in their home, they can't read it. So it was important for these people, and that's what we consider. It is important to get these Bibles into the hands of people. And we're looking, you know, to possibly reach, you know, what, a million people? That's our desire, to put a million Bibles in the homes of rural Chinese. That's our desire. We'll keep doing it. Do we do it? And we reach a million, we're not going to stop. You go for 2 million. All right? So this is what God wants for his church. Paul echoes that in a prayer. I've said this along our lessons, but if all God wanted was for Paul to pray this, if that's all that was important, he wouldn't have written in the letter. He wrote it in this letter so that the believers could read what he's praying, and that they then could echo that prayer for brothers and sisters in the Lord, for churches that are across the valley in the cities of Laodicea and Hierapolis. In Colossae, they all kind of sat in a valley, and you could see each church from one another. But Paul wrote this and that they could pray that the churches over in Laodicea or Hierapolis, that they would hear this same message and get this same passion that Paul has. He wants the churches to grow. He wants the saints to be able to walk according to the will of God in a manner that pleases him. He uses the phrase walk worthy of the Lord. We'll talk about that in a future lesson. But what we find here is the first thing that Paul starts with is the word asking. Asking that. And that's what we're going to focus on in our lesson this morning. Paul asked. Now, this is a very specific word from the Greek, and I put the wrong word down in your notes. So there you go. I was busy writing and changing, and it came out wrong. So you have the word deomai there highlighted in yellow. It should be aiteo, A-I-T-E-O. So it should be aiteo, A-I-T-E-O. And that is a specific Greek word that's used in prayer. Now, I say prayer, but in the Greek language, that would be the word prosuke, because prosuke is any generalized prayer. So we say, you know, to pray. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's 5 different Greek words for prayer. But by prayer, I mean general prayer. And each one of those fits within that. The first is the word prosuke, which is general prayer, but it also includes any type of conversational prayer. So any prayer we're praying is a conversation with the Lord. But prosuke by itself specifically means that you're sitting down in communion with God, that you are talking and listening. And so communion means both parties participating. And we need that kind of prayer. Pastor Jeff's been talking about that a lot. And so this communion with God, that encompasses all manners of prayer that we have. But specifically, when Paul lists numbers of different kinds of prayer, he says prosuke, he specifically means communion. And then he lists others. Now, as I said, there's 5 different words. I know people talk about different kinds of prayer. Well, I break those down into these 5 different words. To me, that's different kinds of prayer. And so this first one, prosuke, is just conversation. The second word would be deomai, D-E-O-M-A-I. I could have put this all down, but I thought, you know, you can do some writing yourself. So, deomai, which is the word you've got down there, and that word means to supplicate, to beseech. And I know this is gonna make your hair stand on end. It can also mean to beg. No way, we don't beg. Well, the word's written about 10 different times in Paul's writing, so. Yeah, and the word deomai doesn't mean we are helpless. It means we need help. There's a difference between being helpless and needing help. So we come before the Lord because we need help. I've run into something that I can't do. Something I can't change. So I'm calling on God to do something that I can't do. And so that forms up this word, deomai. Deomai is a word of passion. It's intense. It can be very deep. It can be accompanied by emotions, tears, anger. I've used this often. The basic word for this is the word help. And that's all you can pray. Anybody ever done that? Help! I don't even know what to say. I don't even know how to say it. The words just can't even come out of my mouth. So this word, deomai, which is the second, prosuke and deomai, D-E-O-M-A-I, the word you've got written there. Then there's the word intunkano. I know, that's like, what? Intunkano, I-N-T-E-N-C-H-O. C-H-A-N-O. All right. I-N-T-E-N, in tune, C-H-A-N-O. Intunkano. And intunkano is the word intercede. It means I'm asking something for you that has nothing to do with me. That's intercession. And intercession can be involved in all of these. I can commune with the Lord in intercession. You have a need. I'm talking to God about how to pray for your need or how to help your need. It can come with this word, deomai. I see the situation. I don't know what to pray for you. Anybody run into it sometime when you just don't even know what to pray? So that's deomai, but I'm praying it for someone else, which means it's also intercession. So intercession is when I'm praying in any way for someone else that is nothing to my benefit. And so it's not about me, it's about them. Now, yes, I can intercede about how God can use me to help them, but I don't intercede for myself. You can't intercede for yourself because you're participating. So it is something that you're doing for someone else. Then there's this word, deomai, aiteo, which we're going to talk about today, A-I-T-E-O, A-I-T-E-O, which means to ask. I'll come back to that because we're going to spend the rest of our lesson on that. Aiteo, to ask. And then there's the word for thanksgiving, eucharistio. E-U-C-H-A-R-I-S-T-E-O. Eucharisteo. E-U-C-H-A-R-I-S-T-E-O. In the middle of that, you see the word charis, which is grace. E-U means good. So this is the Greek word for thanksgiving. It means good grace. Grace received and grace to come. That's how thanksgiving is used. So thanksgiving, biblically, whether Old Testament or New Testament, means God's done this, and this is what I can expect. I look back at what he's done, and I know that it's going to come. You need that again, E-U-C-H-A-R-I-S-T-E-O. So those are the five words that are used for prayer. Paul often puts them in a chain. Sometimes he mentions four of them, differing which ones he brings out. But these are all incorporated in this. The word Paul chooses here, asking, and it comes over and over again in Paul's letters, asking, asking, asking. The Greek word asking, aiteo, A-I-T-E-O, not the word you have there, means to ask or demand. You say, what? We don't demand anything from God. Well, hold on. Ask, demand, desire, or request something that is yours by right or by promise. Something that is yours by right or by promise. This is the word that they would use in reference to a son asking his father. Because the son has a right. A stranger does not. A stranger might, deomai, might prosuke, talk to him about it. But this word, aiteo, is something that belongs to a relationship. Or someone made you a promise. They would do this. And so now I am asking that they fulfill it. All right, and since I'm putting a demand on their promise. God has given us what? How many promises? I don't know. Somebody counts them up, but I'm not sure that that's right because that depends on which translation of the Bible you're reading. But anyway, thousands of promises. Is that right? And he made those promises without you asking him to. They're waiting for you to do what? No. He's waiting for you to ask. It's his promise. Ask. A promise of salvation, but you have to ask. God promised us peace, but you need to ask. He promised us healing, but you need to ask. So this is, in a sense, our response to a promise that God has made or a privilege that we have because of relationship. I can go to the home when my father was still alive, and I could go to my home and I could ask my dad for things that you don't have a right to ask him for. Na, 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 na. Now, so, if I wanted him to make me a lemon meringue pie, I'd ask. And later that day, there'd be a lemon meringue pie. Or he'd get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and it'd be there when I got up for breakfast. Okay, you kids, close your ears. I would eat lemon meringue pie for breakfast. Yeah. Well, it's fruit. Eggs. It's fruit and eggs. It's there. All right, move on. But that's the idea of the word ask. It's something that belongs to us by privilege or by promise. So look at the top of your next column. Here's some passages familiar to us, not all of them. There's a lot of them in the New Testament. If you have a Greek concordance, you can look these words up. Matthew chapter 6, a very familiar passage. Do not be like these, that is the hypocrites, or the pagans. Don't be like them, for your Father, I love this, knows what you need before you ask him. He knows what you need before you ask. God doesn't make it up when I ask him. He's already made it available. I just need to ask. Like a parent that goes to the grocery store and buys things and puts them in the pantry or the refrigerator or the freezer, waiting for the children to ask. And so there is a asking. Now, I've used this, but you know, when just a baby, the baby's asking is, you know, just reaching or pointing for something, you know. And then you give it to them and they're happy for a couple minutes and then it's, no, you know, it's on the floor, whatever. But we're okay with the pointing and, you know, kind of grunting or mumbling, you know, and we say, listen, the baby said, I want some spaghetti. Didn't say that. It can't even talk, you know, but anyway, that's what mom heard. And so she gives the baby spaghetti. Because that's what the baby wanted. Maybe. Mashed in a jar, whirled together. Ooh. Strained peas. No. All right. But That's okay when they're children. When we grow up, God doesn't expect teenagers to point and mumble. They do, but careful. They're not supposed to point and mumble. We've taught them to ask. If you want it, ask. So God does the same thing. God has got provision for us. And now this is the lead into the Lord's Prayer. Your Father knows what you have need of, therefore pray this way. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What's the next word?
Thy kingdom come.
Because this is what we're wanting. But in the Greek language, that's a demand. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What's the next word?
Give.
What? Now that's, again, that's a command. How dare you say we can command God to give us our daily bread? Because Jesus said to. That's pretty strong, isn't it? Give us. Isn't it, since that's a demand? It's more than just, I'd like to have my daily bread. It's a demand. It's a request. Why? Because the Father's already made provision. Now, daily bread would have anything to do with what you need for daily life. Anything. Peace, joy, wisdom, understanding, grace, help, healing, prosperity. Whatever it is you need, give us this day our daily. Whatever you have reserved for me, I desire it. And it's what bread?
Daily.
It's not ask once and you always get it. It's not the child asks for breakfast once and the rest of the time there's no asking. Ask, ask, ask. Then John chapter 14. Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So this asking is not for your glorification, it's for whose? For His. Whatever you ask in my name, ask that glorifies the Father in the Son. That's not you asking for, you know, everything that you want and God providing it. No, it's asking for what God has reserved that will glorify His name and the Son. Ask in Jesus' name. Does healing glorify God? Does provision glorify God? Does bringing us peace glorify God? And so we ask those things in His name. Whatever you ask in my name, maybe that the Father may be glorified. So just because it says whatsoever, doesn't mean that you can ask for a Lamborghini, you know, and God provide it. If God gave me one, I wouldn't be able to get into it. And if I did, I'd never be able to get out. I just have to roll on the... Now, do I think they're nice? You know, is that like cool, really cool car? Yeah, but it won't work for me. So, it's not that you can ask God anything that you want, anything that comes on your heart. No, this is whatever things you need, things that we need, and also that glorify God and His Son. And then it goes on, verse 14, again, if you ask me anything in my name. Now those words ask, that's nice, ask, but let's translate it like some of its other meanings. Whatever you require in my name. Whatever you require in my name. Whatever you request in my name. Or let's use the strong one. Whatever you what?
Demand
in my name. There's some situations that we face, I need to demand something in His name. Because just asking doesn't seem enough. And that's why these Greek words have so much implication, so much power in them. So, as I said, this is a very specific and a very strong word that's used in prayer. And then there's John chapter 15. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you. Notice those two conditions. Abiding in me, my words abiding in you. So this is a believer who's walking in fellowship with God, walking in fellowship with the Lord. You're not letting darkness separate you from God. You're not letting selfishness and your own desires. You are in fellowship with Him because you're in His Word and listening to what He is saying. My words abide in you. Now, don't just interpret my words as the Bible, because these believers didn't have Bibles. But He still told them, let my words abide in you. What words? Words that the Holy Spirit is teaching you. Words the Holy Spirit is giving you. And whatever those words are, they're going to align up with what later would be written in the Bible. And so these are things that we need to listen to, and we'll talk more about that when we talk about His will next week. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you can ask whatever you will. Then you can require, request, desire, demand, whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. The Wiest translation, Wiest was the president of Moody Bible Institute for many years. He's got commentaries and word studies. And Wiest says in this verse, whatever things you ask, desire, demand, whatever your heart desires, request, and I will give it to you. Whatever. Now again, how is that limited? Because I am in His words and He's in me. I'm abiding in Him and His word. I'm abiding in His words. So you abide in me and my words abide in you. Then I can ask whatever is in my heart. Why? Because what's in my heart is going to be what He wants. What is in line with what His purposes and His plans are. Even if I don't have a scripture verse. Now I know a lot of times we want to find a scripture verse and, you know, lock onto that, and, you know, if we pray the word, it will happen. Well, if the Spirit gives you the words, pray those words. That's just as much His word as what's written in the scriptures. We don't draw upon the communion of the Holy Spirit as we should. Again, early believers, till 1500s, believers didn't have Bibles. How do you think they grew? How do you think the church exploded and overcame the Roman Empire? Well, they didn't have the Bible. They didn't, I don't want to say they didn't need it, but it wasn't required for them to walk as a believer because they had the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. Listen to Him. Amen. Jesus said, I'm going to give you another comforter, teacher, who will abide within you. And it's better than me being with you. You know, I could think of, if Jesus was walking beside me, I can think of all kinds of things that I would be able to do and say and act upon, because Jesus is right by my side. Well, He said, what I'm going to give you is better than me being by your side. That's almost craziness. And there are preachers, old doctrinal thought, that say God doesn't talk to believers anymore. God doesn't talk to us. Well, sorry, talks to me. And He said if a believer says that God has spoken to them, they need to be put in an asylum. Well, then lock us up. Because here we are, and God will speak to us, and we'll get out. Go. But this is the idea behind this. Now, one of the most illuminating passages about this word ask is in 1 John chapter 5. So let's read what this says. 1 John chapter 5, and most of us know this, we could quote this, you know, without having our Bibles or any kind of thing open. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have required of Him. So I have manipulated some of those words to enlarge upon them. So years ago when I read this, I've got my old Scofield Bible. I've got it outlined. And I got everything outlined except one phrase. According to his will. I mean, everything's underlined, sometimes different color, highlighted. You know, if we ask, he hears. And if we know he hears, we have. You know, and so I got all that underlined except according to his will. Now that's the part that stands out the best. Because that's the thing that hinges the entire prayer. If we ask anything. But first of all, let's look at this word confidence. We have this confidence toward him. You know, you can, sometimes you see on movies, or maybe you served in the military, or, you know, in some kind of situation where you had someone over you, superior to you in authority. And sometimes situations come up and you say, may I speak freely? Now, I've had those situations, and sometimes I spoke freely, and it didn't work so well. But may I speak freely? And most officers will give you that opportunity, or leader. And that comes from this Greek word for confidence. The word comes from the Greek word rhema. Same root as the word rhema, spoken word. But what this word with the prefix in front of it means free words. Free words. Free-flowing words. Words that flow from me. Words that flow out of me. One translation used the word frankness. May I be frank? Well, somebody, you say, sure, go ahead. And then you say it, and then you get punished for it. So don't try to use that with maybe your parents when you're being corrected. But anyway, so sometimes we need to be frank. And we have this boldness, this opportunity for free-flowing words. In other words, listen to me. You can say anything you want to God. Be free. I have the freedom to ask. He has the freedom to correct. He has the freedom to say, that's not my will. It's not the time. I know people say, well, there's only two answers, yes and no. No, there's multitudes of answers. God's answer to your prayer may be yes to this part, but no to this part. And we need to adjust to what it is. It doesn't say I can't ask for it. But what he's going to answer is what? The part that's according to his will. The rest of it, it's almost like he doesn't hear it. Let's read on. We have this confidence that if we ask anything, desire, request, demand, anything that is according to his will, he hears us. If it's not according to his will, what? He doesn't hear it. It's like goes nowhere. When I was growing up, years passed. I lived in central Ohio, little town, and if we tuned our radio just exactly right, after about 8 o'clock at night, and tuned it and tuned it and fine-tuned it and just, you know, on and off, it'd squelch and it'd come in a little bit clearer, move the antenna, move the radio closer to the window, you know, try to get things out of the way, move things, tune. And finally, might be able to get the Chicago radio station and listen to good rock music at night. But no, I didn't listen to gospel music at that time. But you had to fine-tune. Then later on, they came out with things that could tune generally, and then a fine-tuning knob that could adjust it, you know, till you get exactly the number that you were looking for. Now radios just do it for us automatically. You don't even think about tuning. What do you mean, tuning your radio? You know, how many tuning the television? Oh, man, put foil on the rabbit ears, you know, move them around, try to change the position, move them over close to the window. Sometimes you even had to move your whole TV, you know, arrange your living room so that your TV was in the right place, that you could watch TV channels. No, there was no cable, no Wi-Fi, no wireless. But it says, if we pray according to his will, he hears us. And then listen to this next phrase. And if we know that he hears us, whatever it is that we are demanding, requiring, requesting. So if we know he hears us, and how do we know he hears us? Because we prayed according to his will. And so if we pray according to his will, he hears us. And if he hears us, then we know. We have this confidence, this assurance, that whatever we ask, required, requested, demanded of him, we will have. So that whatever we know, that whatever we have requested, we have what we required of him. So we make our requests, and when we know it's according to his will, then we know that whatever it is we prayed, we have. Does it appear immediately? No. Might be over the hill. There's an Old Testament story about David coming back from battle, and a man met him on the road, but the man met him just over the hill. David needed sustenance. He needed provision. He needed things for his troops, and they were hungry and they were thirsty. But the Lord met him just over the top of the hill. Did you ever have your prayer answered just over the top of the hill? It's like you had to go and go, and you're climbing and climbing, and finally you get to the top of the hill, and there it is. If you got discouraged and went back down, you wouldn't have reached it. But you press through, and you labor sometimes in prayer until you get over the hill, and there's your provision. Other times, it comes just out of nowhere. Surprises you. Before you even thought it would happen, bang, it's happened. So we can't evaluate whether our prayers have been successful just because they don't happen soon. Because as I said, my grandfather prayed I'd be saved, but I was saved 4 years after he died. Were his prayers negated when he died? No. His prayers still came to pass. And sometimes we pray things that might not happen for years. Abraham prayed for a son, and it didn't happen for 25 years. Wow. That would be things I prayed when I was 50. I don't even remember 50. But you know what? There's things I prayed back then that are probably still waiting to happen, like the Lord's return. So the idea of this is that we pray according to his will. Let me finish up. His will has to do with God's eternal purpose. According to his will, that is his eternal purpose. I don't always know God's eternal purpose. I know what the scriptures say. Maybe I know, maybe I don't know. But there's the scriptures, and I know those things. But God's eternal purpose for what I need in my life right now. For what I need for my family right now. God's eternal purpose. And what that goes on to mean, the Greek language, thelema, means that which is fulfilled in accomplishing his purpose. His will is the thing that is accomplished according to his purpose. And so what God wants is the things that please him. So we pray that we might know what to pray that pleases him. Sounds like, you know, a circuit, doesn't it? It just goes around and around. I'm praying for what pleases him so that I can have what pleased him, and then I can pray You know, and around it goes. And it's over and over, repeating. God wants me to pray according to what pleases him. But the beautiful part of that is, he's going to show me. He's going to show me what to pray so that I can pray what pleases him. What a glorious God we have. What a great God. And think of a good parent. Ask me, because I've made this provision for you, ask me and I will give it to you. Why don't you give it to me without me asking? Because when you ask, it honors me. And when we ask God, it honors him. If he just gave it to us, we wouldn't even know it came from God. So, God wants us to have it. And we know that we have, listen to this last part, the requests that we required of him. These things. And now all of those words that I highlighted there, they're the same Greek word, aiteo. To ask, require, request, demand. All of those are the same thing. So that word aiteo occurs 1, 2, 3, 4 times in those two verses. But because of translations, they get changed. But it's all still the same Greek word. Now Paul, let's take it back to our subject and then we'll close. Paul is making demand for these believers. I'm asking. Why am I asking? Because I know it's what God wants for you. But I'm asking. And the things I'm asking for are the things that are going to accomplish his eternal purpose. And there are the things that will please him. So I'm asking for God to do in you the things that are going to please him. That you walk according to his will so that you might bear fruit. That's according to God's eternal purpose. So the reason I'm praying is that I'm asking God do this. Well, if God's going to do it, why do I have to ask that he might be glorified? That God is honored and glorified through our prayers. Amen? So that's it. Paul asked that God give them what he, God, has purposed for them. All right? So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, Father God, for the instruction that we receive, revelation, correction, redirection. Father, that we might live according to your purpose and fulfill your eternal plan. And we thank you for these things, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.